Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. Today is Tuesday, November 26th, 2024. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson. A few things to get to on the docket today as... You know, baseball offseason continues to roll on here. I believe it's been about a month since the World Series concluded. The Dodgers continue their victory tour. Not been a ton of movement on the hot stove front. I know the general manager meetings have taken place. Scott Boras spoke at the general manager meetings. That's always a fun time. But the winter meetings, you know, the owners and everybody goes and, like, you know, moves really go down. That's still coming up for a few weeks here. It doesn't seem like Juan Soto will really sign until that time. So this is probably, if you were to lay out, like, the most dead time on the baseball calendar, like, the MVPs come out, Cy Young's come out. That's always the week before Thanksgiving. The week of Thanksgiving and those few weeks leading up to the winter meetings, I would probably argue is the most dead time of the baseball year. In February, you're doing pitchers and catchers. Of course, that takes you into spring training and the season, which carries through October. Now, World Series even goes into early November. Then you have awards. You have the winter meetings, which really gets the offseason going. You could lead into January. You get some signings. February season's heating up. This is really the most dead time in the baseball year, which, you know, for baseball fans like you or I, not the best time. You know, we got other sports going on. Eagles are good. Sixers stink, Flyers are rebuilding, whatever. But as far as Phillies news, it's hard to really get excited at this particular juncture, I'll say, about being a Phillies fan. But there are a few things to go to. Number one, my number one takeaway just on the offseason as a whole thus far, I heard a lot of, I'll say, discourse at the end of the season. When the Phillies got bounced by the Mets in the NLDS, when they lost in four, you know, everyone's go-to reaction was, oh, there are big changes coming to this roster. Like, this team, big changes on the horizon. You know, you got to imagine that, you know, this team's not going to look the same next year, which is, I think, a natural thing that is said often by fans of a particular team, in particular team who has now not gotten it done 3 years consecutively in the postseason. Sure, they lose in the World Series in 2022, and that was a successful season by all counts. Then 2023, first time we've really experienced true disappointment with the Phillies in some time. And then 2024 was the worst of them all. Well, depending on who you ask, but the worst of them all in terms of a playoff finish, and they lose in the NLDS to the Mets. And I think it's natural in any sport. Sports radio, social media, 2024 sports fandom culture that we live in, so to speak, to be like, oh, there's big changes. Like, you know, who's back? Who's coming back? Who's staying? Who's going? You know, no one's safe kind of thing. I never fully bought that to be true. You look at the construction of this Phillies team. First of all, they're built to contend for multiple seasons here. I mean, you had Zach Wheeler and Christopher Sanchez, both top 10 Cy Young finishers. Aaron Nola obviously is, you know, one of the most consistent pitchers in baseball. I'm personally a believer in Ranger Suarez, still long-term. I know he did not have the first half success was not replicated in the second half, so to speak, but I'm a believer in him long-term. I think this rotation is really, really solid, but you go around the starting lineup, like, all right, you start with the DH, Kyle Schwarber, like, he's still under contract, he's coming back. All right, so you move to catcher, JT Realmuto. He still has a year left. I don't think anyone's trading for him. Bryce Harper's at first base. He's not going anywhere. Middle infield, I think the number one change they should have made this offseason, as I've said many times, is Trey Turner should move from shortstop to second base immediately. I don't think, or at the outfield, just off of shortstop. You're actively hurting yourself. He is actively hurting your team every single day that he plays shortstop in the future. I get how much money he makes. Just cut your losses at a certain point. I just don't think it's a smart way to help your baseball team. So Okay, but he's not getting moved. Stott, yeah, maybe, but he doesn't seem like he's hot in trade talks. Alec Bohm has been hot in trade talks. We'll get to a few trade rumors that involve the Phillies' third baseman in just a little bit here. Then you get to the outfield. Brandon Marsh, yeah, maybe. We'll get to a rumor involving him as well. Johan Rojas, you know, maybe if people are interested in a defense-first center fielder who has gotten progressively better at bunting but still leaves a lot to desire to be – or leaves a lot to be desired, I should say, at the plate. And then Castellanos in right field. Like, how much of that is really going to move? The biggest offseason nuggets that are going to come out, or if the Phillies can somehow land Soto, which I don't think is going to be the case, but you never know. Will they keep guys, you know, how much of their bullpen will stay intact? Most notably Jeff Hoffman, you know, will he be back? He's a free agent who I'm sure will command a lot of money this offseason. The whole idea that there were going to be big changes this offseason was never something that I really bought into, never really something that I saw the vision on, never something that I thought was actually going to be true. It felt like something people said out of emotion, like there's going to be big changes. And when push comes to shove, I think opening day 2025, you might have a new backup catcher. I'll get into some of the outrage over that in just a second. You might have a new backup catcher. You might have a new third baseman. Maybe you have a new outfielder. Bullpens look different year to year. In baseball, I don't know if I would call those big changes, so to speak, certainly to the lineup. And I know the bullpen was not good at all in that NLDS, but at the end of the day, like, they were really, really good for you in the year 2024. I don't think you should just move on from them because of it was a huge week. It was a significant week in terms of the weight it held on how the season ended. But I don't think you should just, like, move on from certain bullpen guys because they came up short in October. What we saw in the NLDS with the Phillies was, in particular with the offense, was something we had seen for a while there, the entire second half of the season. You date back to like the All-Star break. The Phillies never really dominated in the second half the way they did in the first half. And some of that was they were in over their head. They were just, that was never going to be replicated. But this is a team that everyone might want major changes. You might think that some of the names that bothered you this past October are not coming back, but probably most of them are. Most of them are under contract. Other baseball teams have access to more information than we do and watch the game just like we do. Like, I don't think anyone's rushing to the phone lines to, you know, completely turn over the Phillies lineup, so to speak. I don't know if Dave Dombrowski is either. If you listen to his postseason press conference, excuse me. if you listen to David Dombrowski's postseason press conference, I don't know if you get the sense from him that he is looking to make massive changes. I don't think the Phillies, you know, view this as a situation where you make massive changes. They made I guess, relatively significant change in their front office as it pertains to Sam Fuld is now just going to go get his MBA. At Penn, his business degree, and he is going to have a job waiting for him when he gets back with the Phillies in 2026. And in the meantime, Preston Mattingly is going to become the general manager of this team. The takeaway kind of seemingly from that press conference was they didn't want to lose Mattingly. But all in all of that to say, I just don't think there are the massive changes people think coming with this baseball team opening day 2025. And I don't know if that's necessarily a horrible thing. I think they have a window here that probably exists for the next couple of years. I think that this is a team that, you know, really struggled down the stretch of last season, but it is still, at the end of the day, like, 162-game baseball season is the biggest sample size there is. And you go to a five-game series, it's almost not reflective of what happened during the course of the 162, and there's never, like, you could be the best team in baseball. Look at the Dodgers. I mean, they won in the COVID year, but this was the Dodgers' first World Series in you know, in ages, in a generation, in a 162 game season. Like, they've been the best team over 162, or one of the best teams over 162 for, feels like, my entire life. I mean, they've been running that NL West, really, with the exception of, I mean, the Giants dynasty in the early 2010s. They obviously won multiple World Series there, and that's not to be forgotten. But, like, the Dodgers have been the most consistently good team in my entire life, and I'm 27. And they finally just won a World Series in a full season, finally just did it beginning to end, finished with baseball's best record, got it done in the postseason. My point is, go ask a Dodgers fan, like, how many times they were disappointed over and over and over and over and over again. This is just, I think, and they didn't, quote unquote, blow it up. I mean, they've had notable changes over the years, adding Freddie Freeman, who ended up being the World Series MVP. They obviously get Ohtani. Like, I'm not suggesting that they weren't aggressive in the offseason, but it wasn't like the Dodgers ever just cleaned house and hit the reset button, you know? Like, they are just considerably one of the highest spending teams in baseball, which, I expect the Phillies to be this offseason, in particular for a guy like Soto comes across the desk. But just my overall thesis here, I don't think massive changes are coming. I think we're getting a sense now, a month into the season. You saw the guys they tender. They decided to bring back Garrett Stubbs, Alec Bohm, and Mundo Sosa. The only guy who they've cut bait with who wasn't already a free agent was Austin Hayes, and that certainly looked like a deadline move that, you know, maybe Dave Dombrowski would like back, but whatever. Like, they gave up Sir Anthony Dominguez and Christian Pache and Gregory Soto. Like, I don't think they're losing sleep over the fact that they made a deadline move with the Orioles. Now, Austin Hayes was, you know, frankly pathetic by the time we got to the NLDS, that he couldn't even, like, he's starting in game three. He's not even playable in game four. But I don't think there's massive changes, and the lineup's going to look relatively similar. And I think we're setting up for an offseason here where the biggest name they can maybe get is Garrett Crochet. We'll get into a bit of news from him on the other side of the break here. But I think that's the type of thing we're looking at here. We're looking value at the margins, try and improve, add another pitcher here, replenish your bullpen. Hopefully they bring back Jeff Hoffman. I'd love to see it happen. And at the end of the day, I think you just hope this offense is a little bit more consistent and turns it on in the second half of the season next year, as opposed to, you know, maxing out their potential in May and June. So that's where I'm at. On the other side, going to get to a few bits of Phillies news. Just stuff being discussed about online with this Phillies team, a few tidbits from our friends over at Phillies Nation, and potential trades, offseason happenings that could be happening with the Phillies. Again, it's a relatively dead time here in the baseball world. Probably the most dead baseball ever gets is around Thanksgiving. I do believe, as far as the Phillies front, usually, I haven't seen this officially, they have their Christmas tree lighting on Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend. So if people are around this weekend, certainly can go check that out. Kind of kicks off the holiday season down at the ballpark. They usually have deals and merchandise, stuff like that. So, maybe go down there and check that out. So again, on the other side, going to get to a few bits of news, then wrap it up for the day. So again, this is the Phillies Today podcast. My name is Dan Wilson. Be right back. Welcome back to the Phillies Today podcast. Again, my name is Dan Wilson, and want to get to a bit of Phillies, just a few Phillies tidbits here from the week. Couple of news bites from PhilliesNation.com. Love their work. Make sure you're following them and their two writers, Destiny Legardo and Ty Daubert. So the first thing, first order of business here, so to speak, is a Phillies rumor regarding that the team, they're in trade talks. There have been rumors about one Garrett Crochet from the White Sox. Get to that in a minute. But a piece of news per Matt Gelb, which is that he said on the Phillies Therapy podcast, the Phillies are, quote unquote, less inclined to trade Brandon Marsh. Seems like they're really pushing the Alec Bohm thing. And just for further context, the reason that they're less inclined to trade a guy like Marsh as opposed to a guy, say, like Bohm, they're really concerned about their outfield depth here. I mean, I would like to see them add an outfielder this offseason, you know, namely Soto, but he's not going to play. He's probably not going to be your everyday center fielder. He's not going to be your everyday center fielder. Like, he probably going in the left, and you got Castellanos in right, or vice versa. But you're looking at those being your corner outfield spots. The Phillies wanting to protect the center field spot, I get it. But, I mean, listen, if you can trade Brandon Marsh, they might not be actively shopping him. Maybe they're making it seem like they really value him so that other teams – just what they're telling other teams. But, I mean, if they don't get a Garrett Crochet deal done because of Brandon Marsh, like, I think that would be pretty ridiculous. So that was one bit of news. And, again, the direct quote, this is from Matt Gelb, is that the one thing I did hear recently, I think it's pretty good information, is that they are less inclined to move Marsh. Marsh is a guy that's not as available, I guess I would say, as some of the other guys. Not that they wouldn't trade him if the right offer came around. That stands for everybody. I think he's less among that group of guys that they're more active in trying to sell. I think it's more about the center field situation than anything. Obviously, there are no free agent center fielders, and trading for a center fielder is probably, I don't want to say impossible, but unwise given the value of the price that it may put on other center fielders. Their inclination is to keep Marsh. Is more about the center field options than anything. More than likely, barring a massive surprise, you're probably looking at a Marsh-Rojas combo in center field with an upgrade in left, hypothetically. So, again, adding value at the margins, no big changes. We're looking at Marsh and Rojas again. Woohoo! Like, I'm sure everyone's really excited about that. But I think that's just kind of where this Phillies team is at. And, you know, that's just kind of as things stand, like that those are the type of moves that we're looking at right here and now. A few other pieces of news. This is also from Phillies Nation, but it's been reported a variety of other places. Is that, you know, Garrett Crochet could potentially be on the horizon here. They're really pushing for this Alec Bohm thing. It would probably require other prospects. Tons of mock deals going out there. I would love to see Garrett Crochet in a Phillies uniform. The White Sox are obviously, I mean, you feel bad for a guy like Bohm going there, or just set the record for losses in a season. And they are in full-blown rebuild mode. So you'd imagine that they're trying to hold on to Crochet and really work the market here. They notably did not move him at the trade deadline because seemingly the price that they were getting or were asking for was not being met. So that's something to keep an eye on as of right now. And then the last thing is the Garrett Stubbs tendering. He signed a split contract, so to speak. And that means that there's no guarantee he'll begin the year with the big league team due to his contractual status. He has one minor league option remaining, but not enough major league service time that he could reject an assignment, so to speak. So, you know, everyone kind of freaked out the other day, online in particular, that, oh, like Garrett Stubbs is being brought back. But, like, I don't think it's a big deal at all. Like, this is kind of what I expected. I would say this is not a situation where I think he's guaranteed to be your backup catcher. Like, I think that more than likely the Phillies kind of go in a different direction there. I don't think I just don't think it means anything. I don't think it means that Stubbs is going to play, you know, as much as he has in prior years. I think we're probably headed towards more Rafael Marchand, more, you know, Real Muto and him and Marchand platooning. I think we all saw when Marchand came up that, in my opinion, he's the better player. Stubbs, listen, great for the team clubhouse vibes. He certainly holds some weight for that. But at the end of the day, I just don't think that's enough to keep him on the team for the full year. And frankly, like, what does that say about the clubhouse if we don't trust that this clubhouse can stay in order or keep the vibes high if they're winning games and they don't have their backup catcher? Like, make him a coach, put him on the IL, do whatever you need to do. Like, I just don't think it's wise to keep him on the roster for 162, especially as we're now, I think, seeing the wind down of JT Realmuto's career. I think we are in a place now where Realmuto is not going to, he's going to want to play out there every day, but, you know, Thompson's probably going to want to manage his workload, so to speak, just even a little bit more with each year against the final year on his contract. Didn't exactly look great when push comes to shove in the postseason last year. He needs to be ready to go for the 2025 postseason. You might see more of the backup catcher, whoever that might be. I do not believe it's going to be Garrett Stubbs. I don't think the fact that they brought back Garrett Stubbs means anything more than, you know, he's getting a look in spring training. But as things stand right now, like, people, I think, just saw, oh, they're bringing him back. He might even end up on another team next year. Like, he's probably among the best 60 catchers in baseball, if we're being honest. Like, that's just... Someone might, if they were to, they can't option him, but if things didn't work out with the Phillies I'm talking about, like, he might end up somewhere else one day. Go make him the Lehigh catcher. Keep him ready. If Marshawn, you know, can't, I do believe Marshawn's one of the best 60 catchers in baseball. If Marshawn can't handle, then you go back to Stubbs. And if Marshawn proves to be the guy on, you know, day games, ran him off day here for JT there, ran him off day there, then so be it. I think that's completely, completely fine. So those are the few orders of business here. Again, we'll wait to see what happens with Soto. We'll wait to see what happens with the remainder of this Phillies offseason. But kind of quiet down there at the ballpark. It's, you know, obviously it feels like the season ended forever ago. It was technically in last month in October. But, you know, the pitchers and catchers countdown, we're definitely under 100 days now, so that's always good. And once you get through Thanksgiving and then through Christmas, once you get to the new year, you know, baseball's not that far away. We'll be counting down to the truck day before you know it, but certainly lots of question marks on this roster until we get to that point. So that's going to do it for today's edition of the Phillies Today podcast. Again, my name is Dan Wilson. You can always find all the podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan_Wilson4. You can always find all of the podcasts right here on the Phillies Today podcast page. And until tomorrow, you know, again, thank you for listening. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. I'm remaining hopeful that the Phillies give us some sort of news to latch on to here, some sort of trade. Maybe Dave Dombrowski can work something, give us an early holiday present, so to speak, because that would be quite nice. The Eagles are dominating the town right now. Sixers and Flyers again. You know, Sixers stink. Flyers are in a rebuild mode. If the Phillies could give us something, that is all I ask. Dave Dombrowski, just please give us something and make it more than a GM change. Again, that's going to be it for today's edition of Phillies Today. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you next time.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.